Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I am the founder of Gear Media Studios, a full-service podcast studio.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities who tell their stories about their business journey and also share helpful insights about the successes that they've had.
So Noelle London is our next presenter. You've heard her speak a little bit. She is the founder and CEO of Illuminis. So she makes HR systems talk to each other so you can really figure out what's going on with your HR. So tell us all about it, please.
With Illuminis, what we have built is the first employee data platform that is both powered by AI and built by a community of over 300 HR leaders. Essentially, what we do is we help organizations transform their data that is scattered across many different systems. We help them to transform that data into actionable insights on what's happening across their employee journey. So especially as we think about AI and automation and what that means for how we have to move skills and employees through organizations, that's a lot of what we do is through our software platform, we support mid-market companies to understand, you know, organizational health and what's happening, but then also helping to plan for the future of their workforces.
I think that's great because HR is critical to the functioning of any company, the effective functioning of any company. And in my past experience, when I worked for large companies, I was not always impressed with the level of organization within the HR function. And so to me, it seems like this is a really great idea. How would the system benefit employees?
Yeah, so when you think about it, most organizations are spending, and it really varies between industries, but employees typically are going to be the largest expense that an organization is going to have. So, you know, in retail, that may be around 50% of their annual operating budget is actually going to their people. But typically, because they're operating off of a lot of different systems to manage their employees, that data is going to live into different places. And so they don't necessarily have a good view on what's happening across that organization. What we tend to see is, you know, for example, we can just go into retail because I mentioned retail just now. With, you know, retail customers that we've worked with, you know, sometimes they're seeing that employees are leaving, 70% of them may be leaving every 90 days. What that ends up translating to is for the business, they're losing over $100 million in cost every single year to folks that are leaving. So when you ask, you know, what does that do for an employee? What we do is we allow an organization to understand why people are leaving and why their employees are leaving. So by us highlighting those things, what that's allowing them to do is to be more proactive on how to manage their people, to listen. And that also ends up translating to helping them to bring down their expenses year over year. I would say, you know, what that could look like, for example, is, you know, within a retail environment, you know, probably 80% of your employees are going to be frontline workers. We found that the number one reason when we were bringing the data together that folks were leaving as quickly as that they were is because they weren't getting scheduled for enough hours. So, hey, if I'm not getting scheduled for enough hours in the store, I'm going to go and find another job because I've got to pay my bills. What we also found is that there were systematic issues on why people weren't getting more hours. So, for example, if you are working in a retail environment where you need to be trained to cut fabric or you need to be able to use a meat slicer, those are things that sometimes require trainings and certifications. So by us being able to say, is there a high performer that's within the stores that's not getting as many hours as we want them to get, they're at risk for leaving. we can go and proactively certify those individuals in new roles. And so they're able to get more hours on the job. So that type of holistic thinking of data that lives in different places, how do we think proactively to approach our employees to both improve their experience so that there are good ones aren't walking out the door, but also to overall support the business and the ROI of those spends. So that's, I think, a lot of how we see that all come together today.
So if HR data were a novel, okay, this is a little bit odd question, but let's go there anyway. Yep. What would be the plot twist most leaders never see coming?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because if HR were a novel, what I would say is that we become the encyclopedia as a luminous of bringing the different pieces of information together so that you can actually make use of what's happening. I would say, you know, every organization is unique, but I would also say, you know, Richard, I know you were saying early on, you know, you weren't necessarily impressed with the HR organization where you were previously. What I'd say is that the role of HR has completely changed. It's also completely changed in the last 5 or so years of, you know, oftentimes when you look at an HR function, you know, we would have thought pay, we would have thought let's hire people. I think now, because we've watched that organizations have had to adapt so much in the last 5 years to their workforces, work from home, vaccine requirements, inclusion, healthcare changing, all kinds of things. Every single time, frankly, that you open a newspaper now, every headline is probably something that an HR leader is thinking about. Uh-oh, what does that mean for my people? And what do I need to think about it? So all of these things that, you know, a marketer gets to do marketing, a finance person looks at the books, a lot of the things that are hard to measure have been put on an HR leader's plate. So especially as you start thinking like huge societal changes, huge technology changes with AI and automation, HR is oftentimes right now being asked to play a really important role in figuring that out. So
what kind of role is HR being asked to play when it comes to people's social media? Because you see things in the news all the time. This guy got fired because he posted on social media, or he reposted something and got fired for it. And then somebody else can do it and they don't get fired. How does HR handle that?
I would say that is probably one of very many different things that HR has on their day-to-day plate. You know, I would say like to the point of that, I think that that comes down to values and behaviors, being very clear about what that looks like and understanding how you all respond as a leadership team to those types of scenarios. What I would say is also, you know, hey, Elizabeth, today it may be social media is the thing that people are thinking about. Tomorrow it's going to be something else. And so I think that's kind of the key when you say, what's the story? What's the novel? It's almost like we're reading a novel where the plot is constantly changing and you're just trying to keep up. And so that's kind of the key that we're seeing is, you know, a year ago we were talking about, you know, there's always a great resignation, a great stay, a quiet quitting, you know, coffee clock in. There's always like, there's kind of a theme du jour for HR, but the key that they have to be able to navigate through is how do they have the data that's telling them the story of what's happening over time? And how do they take the data that typically that novel would have been looking historically at, you know, what happened last year from a compliance standpoint? I've got to report out on what happened with my people. Now what we need that data to do in this novel is help them to predict the future of, we don't know what talent needs that we have in a year, but we have to understand how we look at skill sets and what we start hiring for so that I'm actually prepared for the future of my organization.
So how much of a company's culture is or should be attributed to the work of the HR department versus the management and the leadership of the company? How do those two interact?
Yeah, HR does not own culture. And that's kind of this, it doesn't sit in a silo. Organizations that think HR owns culture, it's got to start at the top. Who builds your culture is your CEO, your founder, your executive team. And you've got to have alignment at that table and at that team. I think that what HR does is HR is a reminder when you're sitting at an ELT table and you're making a big strategic decision. Hey, let's acquire a company. Hey, let's go off, open a new office in XYZ country. You're always making those kinds of decisions. What HR is doing is saying is making sure that you're asking the question of how does this impact our people? What do we need to do to hold on to our best talent when we're making these kinds of decisions? But I absolutely believe HR doesn't own culture. They're there to create accountability for culture. They're there to facilitate conversations that are, how is culture being translated through the organization? But it's got to come from the top up down because everybody's watching. What is that CEO doing? How's that CEO responding? HR is there to make sure that that's being translated throughout the organization.
I don't know if you have the answer to this question because I know you're not like in the HR departments at these companies, but before COVID, people could gather around and say really stupid things to each other. And then somebody would get mad and tell HR. And then,
We still say stupid things to each other.
when everybody went on Zoom, it was a little harder because you weren't really one-on-one with somebody at the water cooler saying, you really look like crap today. Did you go get drunk last night or something, and really insulting the heck out of them. It was harder to do when people weren't physically together. Did you notice any differences in terms of people filing like harassment suits or any of that during COVID versus in person?
Yeah, so I'll be honest, we're not in the employee relations side of the house. I again think, in the past, we might have thought about HR around, and HR wears so many different hats, as we've talked about. We might have thought of like who's getting their paycheck, who's hiring somebody, and who's complaining about somebody and getting somebody fired. Like those may have been kind of the buckets we would have thought of before. Our focus at Illuminis is we do a lot around organizational health and organizational design. So typically, we're not necessarily touching employee relations claims. That's not really our area. Where we focus is we'll bring together system of record data. So, like your Workdays, I know you all mentioned SAP before. So, like SAP SuccessFactors. We'll bring together recruiting data, engagement data, performance data, and pay data. So, what we're essentially trying to understand is what is somebody's experience when they're at the organization? What is their employee journey? We bring that critical HR tech stack together to help somebody understand, was Noelle a high performer or a low performer? And she didn't get promoted in this amount of time. How's her salary changing over time? Can I actually understand what is the archetype of a high performer look like at my organization? What is that journey? What is that career path? The same way we would think about like marketing type analytics. What we're doing is saying, hey, what's the archetype of a high performer? How do we learn what that looks like through data that's living in different places? And then how do we take that and communicate that of, hey, Noelle, you want to grow within this organization? This is your path to do that.
So Shaker, do you have any questions or comments for Noel?
Noel is probably one of the most articulate people that I've ever heard talk about this topic in a way that is so commonsensical. Because, people always think HR equal to culture, but culture is a living organism that evolves as people get added into the organization. That is why you're always constantly morphing the culture, and they are actually accountable for it. And what I believe is going to be true in the future is one of the things to really watch out for, and this happened during the COVID times, is when people get separated in time and space, which is what COVID did. You begin to lose the human connection, which makes companies. And in the world of AI, where machines are going to like begin to like make decisions on your behalf and guide you in the process, you're going to have a similar thing come to life. And how do you protect yourself? So that I think is going to be the moral dilemma go forward. And I think, like, you know, one of the things I would love for Noel to also start thinking about is how do you retain that the cultural integrity, the community aspect of the businesses, the values that actually companies aspire for. How do you set the temperature of what those values are? Because a lot of these companies have like values on a on the board and in the boardrooms and like in the hallways, but they never live them, you know? So they never, you know, we actually stand by employees, but like, sorry, like, you know, we're just letting go like 10,000 people. You know, we want to be like, we want to be environmentally conscious, but sorry, like, you know, we're going to start like making things which are not good for environment. Like, okay, just pick your poison of what you want to really do stand against. And I think like the ability to not only hold people accountable in what I would call the like the physical world, now has to translate it into the digital realm. Because AI doesn't have heart, it has mind. And we all work with heart because the mind rationalizes our decisions, rather, right? So that's that, I think that would be the kind of the unlock for the future. How do you retain that? And I think, like, you know, what she's doing is amazing because I've lived all these large companies. The problem is spot on. What she's going after is like, you know, really needed. You know, retaining the values of the company and all those things would be super critical and an ingredient for her journey as well, I feel.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
So, Noel, have you ever like delivered like bad news to a client or given them data that made them uncomfortable or an insight that kind of disappointed them? How did you deal with that? And maybe you could give us a little teaser about a situation like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part, yeah, that's part of what we have to do. And to Shaker's point, I mean, for example, you know, you're talking about how do we have these values and then lay people off? We're not saying you're never going to lay anybody off. Like, it's a tough environment, it's a tough economy. You know, companies are having to contract, you're going to have to do these things. But the way that you do them and the way that you execute them is super important because it's also, you know, that's your employer value proposition. That's your reputation. That's your brand in the market. Where if somebody had a, you know, sometimes you have to let people go, but you can do it in a way that's compassionate and supports them as they're thinking about their next role. So, you know, we're not saying, you know, everything should be fluffy and, you know, we know you've got to run a business. You're trying to create a high performing team. What's the best way to help you to do that? Yes, we've had to deliver hard feedback to our customers. Our platform is delivering that hard feedback to our customers. Sometimes people do want to see it. Sometimes people don't want to see it. You know, integrity and, you know, what we set out to do was to show people the data that they may have had anecdotes for, and they may have been operating on anecdotes instead of data. And so we're going to show what we're seeing within their system. So, but I also think, you know, in terms of delivering hard news, I don't know one HR leader on the market or in the market that doesn't get bad news to them most days at this point. So I also know we're working with a very resilient bunch.
Well, that's good to hear. And I couldn't agree more with how a company handles a downsizing is very important. It is not only just for the people who are leaving, but the people who remain, right? And
That's right.
understanding that says a lot to your to the people who stay behind. Yeah. So
Yeah, I agree.
how can people get in touch with you, Noel, and learn more about your company?
Yeah, so check out, we're oftentimes posting what we're seeing in the market, best practices on how HR leaders are adopting AI on our LinkedIn page. Maybe you can put a link to us in the show notes. I joke sometimes that I need to have a spelling bee for people that can actually spell the name of our company, but it's going to be ILLOOMINUS.com. So you can subscribe to our newsletter if you're interested in, how we're incorporating AI into HR practices. We do have a community for HR leaders. If you've got a friend in HR, they probably need help, and so check in on them, make sure they're doing okay. But also, if you want to, share our community of resources with them, because we're oftentimes bringing folks together. Everybody's trying to figure this out right now. No one's doing it perfectly quite yet. So the more that we can bring people together to share those best practices and support each other, that's best. So yeah, check out our website, check out LinkedIn. We'd love to chat with you.
Great. Thank you.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, our studio assistant Rissakat Busari, and our social media powerhouse Carolina Tabares. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.